Hi, welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Sherry from A Quilting Life.
And I'm Chelsea from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
Today's episode is airing on Monday, November 29th, 2021. And if you're in the United States, we hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday.
Yum.
Excited to be here for a listener question.
I know.
Episode. It's been
so
quite
long.
A while. Yeah.
So long. And I'm liking our like sweater vibe because mine is very apricot orange and yours is very like melony.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like, we have the all the November vibes here. Yeah. So
we should say thank you for, it was interesting because I know a lot of people enjoyed interviews. We had great guests lined up recently. And I know the initial plan was to sort of space them out a little further, but based on like, you know, with Jenny Doan's book coming out and everything, we didn't want to push that back.
Right.
When it's out new. So people would always comment, oh, I want to see, you know, like one of the old ones like that you guys used to do too. So I know it's good to mix it up and have maybe not have so many in a row, but anyway, we're back.
That was just how it came about. And we actually do have a guest episode next time, but the final episode in December will be Chelsea and I again. So So I'm going to just mention real quickly, Fat Quarter Shop sent us these square in a square foundation papers.
I need these right now.
Aren't they so cute? And they have little ideas and they're in all these different sizes. I know.
You guys, this is a 1-inch square and a square.
Finished.
You've got to be kidding me.
And then 1.5, 2.5, 3.5. So I feel like these are great. Just really simple. You start with your number one, and then you sew your fabric pieces on in order and trim with the paper, and you're good to go.
This is so funny because I'm literally...
I know you are.
You know I am.
I know you are.
But this is the thing. I already have 40 blocks done. So...
are your blocks close to one of the... I don't know if there are more sizes.
Yeah, there probably are more.
Okay. Yeah, but they sent us these.
Yeah, mine are a different size. Okay. But wow, this would have been nice. But guys, my blocks are still looking pretty good. So.
Okay.
But yeah, I need to try those.
Yeah, so this is our new find for this episode.
I just can't get over that 1-inch one.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. So the quilts are Chelsea's and we're going to let her talk about them.
Okay, so I have kind of something fun today, and Billy's going to pop up pictures, but recently I've been getting into, obviously, Christmas vibes and sewing, and the quilt on the wall is Botanical Garden. You've seen it before, but this version was made in Happy Days. It's layer cake and yardage friendly, but I love how all of the stems and the leaves are this fun citrine green color. And so Billy is going to pop up a picture, something that I redid it using Summer Sweet Greens and Sincerely Yours Red, Sincerely Yours is out. And so you'll see this on the screen. And I wanted to just show a different version of it. But Botanical Garden is just one of my favorite patterns I've ever designed.
So sweet.
I always wanted to do a flower quilt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I had so much fun making that one.
Yeah, she did. So. Yeah. Mom, I have to say, Mom pieced this for me. Thank you. She did a wonderful job on it. So, I just wanted to show this version plus some Christmas ideas for you guys.
Right.
And then Mom also was the inspiration. So my Magnolia quilt pattern is on the table, and this is Fat Quarter Friendly. I made it in Seashore Drive, and Mom really loved this one.
I'm still going to do this in Christmas.
Yeah, she is going to make it in Christmas, and she's the one who brought up the idea. She said, you need to make this in reds and greens. And I think she's going to,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, I am.
So I had mocked up you'll see the image in Summer Sweet Greens because we had kind of a traditional green in that one.
Right.
And Sincerely Yours Reds, and it's gorgeous. And as you can probably see on the screen. And I don't know if Mom is going to make the full quilt, but
Yeah, I don't
it
know.
Would make an amazing, the size of the blocks, about four of these would make an amazing runner.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm going to be doing. And so I'm really excited to be making that. So
yeah.
That is Magnolia, just to give you guys some ideas of a fresh take on quilts that I've shared before. So
right.
Awesome. Yeah, those are the quilts. And we will get into our listener questions right now. So
I've been saving some emails for a little while. And then we also had some other questions that we had that
left unanswered. And so, yeah, I'm excited.
It'll be a good mix.
It feels strange getting back into listener questions.
Right.
You guys are answering the questions than asking them.
So. Exactly. Yeah, totally.
But we're going to also do something a little different this time. I'm going to be the reader of the questions. And so that I can sort of help, keep it on pace and everything.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes. So you guys ready for the first one then?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So the first one has to do with fabric storage. And it says, can you help me with storage of fabric? Can you help me with storage of fabric, please? I went a little crazy buying your beautiful line of Sincerely Yours from the Fat Quarter Shop. As you know, they ship the fabric in these great plastic bags. Would it be all right for me to keep the fabric in these bags as I go along and use the fabric? My sewing room has some dust because we run our air conditioner most days here in Bullhead City, Arizona. So you guys can relate to that.
Yeah.
And I know you and your daughter have all your fabrics out of the plastic in your sewing rooms. Thanks so much. I just do not want anything to happen to these beautiful fabrics that I am so much in love with. So, and that was from Reba Short.
Yeah.
Thank you, Reba.
And great question. I feel like short-term storage in the plastic bags is completely fine.
Yeah.
I've left stuff for a few months or even up to a year, but I feel like if it's going to be longer than that, you probably would want to get it out of the bags. If you're going to be using it within the next 6 months to a year, I say go ahead and leave it in there.
Yeah.
So one thing also you might want to check, if the bag has a vent hole in it.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, you could take a paper punch and just or even just any sharp tool. Just don't hurt the fabric. But
sharp tool, guys. But
yeah, poke some air holes in there. I feel like that would be beneficial too.
Yeah, I was going to kind of go off of what you just said, because currently I have my scraps in plastic bins. And so I had heard people say, well, you know, the fabric can start to like have a certain smell and all this stuff. And I'm actually going to be switching my organization up at the start of the year. I want something a little bit more open, baskets that are open, because I have a big basket that I keep random scraps in. That doesn't have a lid. And that's what I'm kind of going to be moving towards.
Right.
So yeah, if it has a vent hole, great. Because I'm actually going to be moving from that, from my plastic bin soon. And I'll share more about that later. But
yeah. And I have plastic bins, but they do have holes in the sides.
Yes, and mine don't. So
yeah,
I need to find different options. Great question.
But, great question. I can see what you're saying about the dust too. I feel like the biggest obstacle to fabric though is direct sunlight. So if you can keep your fabrics out of
the sunlight,
direct sunlight.
And mine's on an adjacent wall to the window. So makes it nice.
We had a home one time that had a front room and I just had these really sheer curtains there. And when we moved from that home, we found out that the tops of those sofas had definite marks from being in the direct sunlight with that sheer fabric.
It's crazy. So, you don't think about it, but your quilt should stay out of direct sunlight.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're changing them up frequently, then that's good enough.
Then that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So the next one, she actually addressed it as Dear Abby, but Sherry. So and did you say you've had a few questions?
I've had a few from this same writer. Yeah. So
I like it.
It's fun.
Sort of a Dear Abby, Dear Sherry.
Yeah.
So how do you get so much done? Any tips on how to get motivated? I used to sew all the time, now not so much. My stash has become more daunting than pleasure. I need a quilter's guru talk, or should I have a bonfire? Help for heaps of fabric in California.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
I love this. It was just such a bright, sunny spot in my email box the day that I got it. So
I really love this because we've kind of talked about this before, but something that has really, really helped me, I know we both read that book, Essentialism, but I have a few specific things that must get done before noon. And I write them down. I schedule, I plan my days out ahead of time. So I know, okay, these are the tasks I'm accomplishing before noon. And that's just kind of what's helped keep me on a schedule. It's just prioritizing my time. And then it's almost like, okay, I accomplished that. And now I can reward myself, like, you know, but it's also been a joyful thing for me. So I just, I don't know. I make a list and I prioritize a few things on that list.
Yeah, that's great. This is a chance for me to just mention my new Quilting Life planner and workbook.
Perfect timing.
Yes, it's available now. It's a perfect Christmas gift for yourself or your sewing friends. It is spiral bound and 8.5 by 11 sized. And beginning the first Monday in December, we are going to have some videos monthly on the first Monday of the month, and we're going to walk you through how to use that planner to get organized and make the most of your time so that you can get more sewing done. So I think...
Yeah, that's perfect for it.
Yeah, so that will be next Monday, so come back and tune in for that.
Yeah, and actually, I have obviously looked through the planner, and it's so well done, and there's great prompts in there that will actually specifically help with this. So the planner is a great way to stay organized and on task.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay.
All right, so the next one says, I was always under the impression that your top stitches and bobbin stitches should look the same. In other words, if I handed you two pieces of fabric that were sewn together, you should not be able to tell which were the top stitches and which were the bobbin stitches. But I can see a difference on my machine. The top are prettier. My dealer tells me that the machine is adjusted properly. Do you have any input for me?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that it is normal that your bottom stitches look a little bit different, and that is okay. And that is why sometimes, you know, especially before I was a quilter, I was a garment sewer. And so that's why you top stitch different things and with the part that's going to show coming from the top thread, your thread, not your bobbin. So that's totally normal, and don't worry about it. I do feel like, though, if it's really off, you might have a tension issue.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't want it to have loops or be really tight, or you want it to be similar in tension to the top, or you might need to do some adjusting. But if your dealer said, you know, that it's adjusting properly, I'm sure that's what he meant, was that your tension was fine.
Yeah.
Then it's okay that that's a little bit off,
yeah,
or looks a little bit different.
All right. The next one's pretty short and sweet, and I think you guys have maybe addressed it before, but the question just says, what fabric do you use for the whites?
My favorite question.
Yeah, okay. And actually, I want to say just really quick.
Mom's like, hey.
We have talked about this before, but I feel like we have not addressed it since Seashore Drive came out. And it uses a different...
Yes, background.
So, yes, so this is a great question to have now because we kind of have a few...
So it does change
over time. I'm sure Chelsea's probably going to get into that.
Mom can tell I'm like chomping at the bit to say it because I know it. We could both answer this. But we used primarily before Seashore Drive the Bella Ivory 990060. That was the background Bella color that we used, and we just felt like we needed an in-between, something brighter, and Bella porcelain was the perfect background, I think, to transition to. We've both really enjoyed it. It's still bright, but still kind of like creamy.
And actually, Sincerely Yours is more of a porcelain too, isn't it?
Yes, Sincerely Yours is porcelain and Seashore Drive. Yeah. And we're staying with that one.
Yeah.
But
you can also use Bella Off-White 900-200.
Yeah.
Will work too.
Bella 200 is also, so the quilt on the table today, Magnolia, is Bella 200.
Okay.
Because I like to show that even the going up even a step brighter, it really makes the fabrics pop. So porcelain 200, I have bolts of.
And is that ivory on the wall, I'm thinking?
This is ivory. Yeah. This was our last collection with ivory, actually.
Right.
So
yeah,
definitely subtle differences, but differences nonetheless. So
yeah,
those are my three top faves. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I also
get very excited about the background prints, yes. Fabrics.
Yeah, and just a couple of just tips really quick. When you have leftovers, put your leftover 200, your leftover ivory, your leftover porcelain in different marked bins so that whenever you want to switch back and forth, you can go and get your scraps for small projects.
Yeah, that's a really good idea going back to organizing fabrics as well. Somebody just had made my Forest Drive pattern and they made it in their basement.
Oh.
And they said, I just finished Forest Drive. It's beautiful. And it is. It's gorgeous. And she said, took it outside to get some pictures. And realized I have many different colors of background. And I just told her, I said, that's so unique. That's awesome. What a great memory and
that's
story.
That's the low-volume look.
Yeah, it's the low-volume look, guys. So, yeah, but, yeah, you might want to organize those and keep those separated. So,
yeah. And then also, this kind of related to this, I do have a blog post that we'll link in the description where I give all of the Bella solids that go with almost all of our collections.
There's you are?
Yeah. I already published it. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah. So I have to go back. There's a couple collections I left out, but they are similar to other collections. So, but anyway, we'll link that post.
Cool.
And you can get all
those
Bellas.
I'm going to be reading that because I found my list the other day and I'm like, whoa, we've used a lot of different Bella colors now.
Yeah. I'll send you the link to that post.
Awesome.
All right. So there's a couple more fun ones. I'll bank those for the end.
Okay.
Stay more on the quilting topic right now. So this is a good one from each of you. What is your favorite quilt pattern? So maybe that's sort of hard for you to come up with, but who wants to go first?
I want to go first.
So are we doing our favorite quilt pattern that we've designed?
Yes.
Is that how you're?
That's how I was thinking about it too. Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right, Chelsea, what's your favorite quilt pattern that you yourself have designed?
It is definitely my most recent pattern, Little Town. I'm kind of obsessed with it. No, I just think it's really cute and it goes together really quickly. I had a few people message me, oh, it looks like there's tiny piecing in there. And it just goes together so well. Little Town is definitely number one. And then Hearts at Home has to be my second favorite quilt pattern I've designed. It's just quick, easy make and really cool. I have so many favorites, but those two are like right now.
I'm gonna moderate you and make sure you don't say 10 of them. So yeah, I'll let you get away with two.
Okay, so I'll jump in. I thought about this actually, and I believe it's my Labor of Love sampler that I made using one block from each quilt Labor of Love quilt block. And we did that as a sew along back in 2020, and I made that using Balboa fabrics, and I love it so much. I think I'm going to make a scrappy vert, make it again.
It was
so
really pretty.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and other than that, since she said two, I'm going to say two. I'm going to say Mahalo, just because it's based on a quilt that my great-great-grandmother made, and I had so much fun reinventing that with today's tools and methods. And I made that one twice, once with Denise Schmidt fabrics and once with our Desert Bloom collection.
I love that.
So, yeah.
Sorry,
all right,
Billy.
All right. I'll let you go sneak away with two. No. Okay. So the next one's sort of on the same line. What is your favorite fabric line that you have designed?
Oh, my goodness.
You have to go first.
Why? I went first on the last one.
Okay, fine.
Yay.
I'm going to say Clover Hollow. Whoa. Are you surprised?
I'm really surprised.
I don't know. Just so lately, so right now,
whoa,
as we tape, Chelsea and I are both working on a scrap quilt for a book. And we're both using scraps
this
from
makes sense
a
now.
Variety of our collections.
Yeah.
And I just keep coming back to those Clover Hollow, some of those prints. I love those suns.
That is so funny because I said the same thing about the large floral print. So I made half my blocks for, we can't talk about what these quilts are for.
Right.
And I had a lot of Clover Hollow. So that's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And actually, the reason I like that you said that is that's actually the first collection I started designing quilt patterns with that collection.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of funny and cool that you brought that up.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
I knew. I
knew that was like, that's crazy.
So that being said, though, love Harper's Garden, love Seashore Drive, too. That would round out my top three. Okay.
You're really cheating today.
I cheated.
No, that one, that actually surprised me. I loved that collection as well.
Okay.
I definitely have to say I'm always the person, and you know this, I'm always like, after I design something and I send it to you, I'm always like, this is my favorite collection.
Yeah.
This one is my favorite. Right now, it definitely is Seashore Drive, only because I really felt like we went out of the box with the colors, with the purples and the brighter citrine. We went a lot brighter than we normally do.
Yeah. And that gingham.
Gingham. There were a lot of print. And I think the reason why is this collection was very, it was like natural designing it for me. It went together really quickly. I've really, really enjoyed this one. Yeah. But
and the two-tone florals.
Shout outs to my Salutatorian collections, Desert Bloom, and Sincerely Yours for also going out of the box with that one. So,
okay.
Sorry.
Awesome. Was good. I think that was good.
Yeah, I can't narrow it down that much.
I agree with the ones I have in the top three and the ones you have in the top three. We had one the same, Seashore Drive.
Yeah.
I definitely think those are our top five.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know though, Mom.
Because those five.
I could say so much about every collection. they're just so tied to so many personal things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's true.
I could talk about it all day.
Okay. I'm going to get to one that I think that, because a few of these also I know we've talked about.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But here's a good one. Are you doing any quilt alongs for 2022?
Bum, bum, bum. I am. Billy and I were just talking about this before we started the podcast. I have one coming up with my Be Mine quilt from our Sincerely Yours pattern, the quilt I designed. It's called Be Mine. It's a four-block quilt. I actually wanted to do another quilt similar to All American, and Be Mine was perfect, so it's Valentine's inspired. Four different quilt blocks, and Billy and I will be doing videos for that. That starts in January 2022, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So,
Yeah. You know, I just finished up the Stitch Pink, and just want to let you know, we did end up posting those videos really close together at the end. We were making sure that all of the shops had their fabrics, and so it got delayed and then kind of rushed. Just want to let you know those videos are available on the YouTube channel and the posts on the blog. So you can go back to that and work it at your own pace, especially with Valentine's coming up so quickly after the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that's perfect for that.
Right.
And so through February. And
definitely.
The videos are so helpful. Really well put together. Billy and Mom did a great job on them. So.
Yeah, and there's a wall hanging version of that quilt that would be really fun, not just in the pinks, but in all the fabrics from the Sincerely Yours collection would be great. I'm also doing some, not really a formal sew along, but we're doing some videos with some of the projects from Home and Hearth. And one of those for sure will be up before the end of the year. And and then I have some ideas I'm trying to formulate for 2022 sew-alongs. We will be doing videos again for the 2022 block of the month.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was going to just mention something about the Stitch Pink is that, I saw when we started posting them, because like we had mentioned months prior, they were going to come out
every
week
Friday,
apart, you know? And so once we posted like the second one 4 days later, 3 days later, people were like, oh, I haven't finished. And yeah. I felt like, yo, just take, you know, yeah, take your time. I know everyone wasn't going to finish it in a week and a half, maybe, because quite a few things to do. But what about, are you guys participating in any other sew-alongs that aren't yours?
We are. Yeah. Mom and I are doing the same one, actually.
Yes.
The Heartfelt Charity Quilt Along with Fat Quarter Shop. Is that?
Yep.
I'm right on that.
Yep. We're both doing that.
We're both doing that. And we're both really excited about that because it's such a good cause and a way everyone can sew together towards a good cause. So
yeah,
we are both doing that. Yeah. And that starts in February, I think.
We just got the calendar yesterday in an email. So so we know when we have to have all of our blocks made. And
Fat Quarter Shop does a really good job at putting this together. Yeah.
Yeah. And we will be featured designers towards the end of that quilt along. So So I noticed my week and then your week right near the end, I think. So
we're just two peas in a pod, Mom. We're just always together.
So
joined at the hip.
That will be fun.
Awesome. Okay, so the next one is, do you always send your quilts out to be quilted? And I mean, I know you guys mention Marion and Val a lot because I know they do the majority of your quilting. And I know you have some other people that help you guys out. But is it always, or how much do you guys do your own quilting?
For me, it's 99% of the time I'm sending it out. I will quilt something small, like a pillow. I'm getting pretty good at straight line quilting and crosshatch quilting. We actually have some videos that we filmed with that. And so I'll do pillow tops or table toppers if they're not too big, or sometimes I'll quilt the soft and stable for placemats or for baby bibs I've done before, Christmas stockings. So, but still, almost all the quilts are being sent out.
100% sending mine out.
Yeah.
That's easy for me.
Yeah.
I have a follow-up question with that then, though. I mean, to a lot of people who maybe aren't making as many quilts as you guys are because they don't have to have so many out a year because it's more of a hobby. Like, do you think it's doable to do a lot more on your own, or is it still better to find someone with a long arm quilter? Like, is that pretty much standard?
It's totally
doable. Okay.
It's totally doable.
Look at Lori Simpson.
Yeah.
She hand quilts.
It's incredible. And I actually think it's gorgeous.
Yeah. So many of her, I don't know what her percentage would be, but her hand quilting is beautiful.
And
my grandmother hand quilted many, many quilts just in the evening. She would watch TV and have that little kind of quilt frame that sat in front of her. And so I would actually like to hand quilt a larger quilt one of these days.
Yeah.
So
that very first quilt that you made for me when I was a kid, was that hand quilted when you had it all laid out on that big thing?
We tied that quilt with yarn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt like that broke my grandmother's heart to have to do it, but she just didn't have the time to hand quilt it.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. So that's why it was tied.
It was tied. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and, oh no, this one's for Chelsea here real quick, and then we'll get into the fun ones.
Yay!
So Chelsea, do you organize like your mom does, or, and then also says, are you learning or designing styles the same? Sorry, I read that wrong. Are your learning styles, learning or designing styles the same?
I really like this question because I was the organized child growing up. So I almost have to think maybe Mom picked up some tips from me. No. Mom and I are a lot alike when organizing.
You know, I just thought of something that I did learn from you about organizing. And this is so funny because I see it all the time now on these organizing accounts that I follow. But when you used to do the pantry for me, when you wanted something when I was gone and I would come home and she had cleaned the pantry, she would take all of the things like from Costco out of the big box packaging and just put them in there to save space in the pantry. And I learned that from Chelsea. And Yeah. And now you see all these organizers. That's the first thing they tell you to do with your pantry is get those cans out of that box or get those.
Take those cookies out and put them in a separate plastic bin.
Yeah. But they, but it does save a lot of space.
And it's a whole lifestyle, the organizing thing now.
Yeah. And I just saw something the other day where they showed all of these products, if they had stayed in their packaging, would have taken them 5 bins and they got it into 3 bins because they weren't in the pack. And I learned that from...
And it's the same with fabric. It's the same thing with
fabric, yeah.
You know, it's the same thing, you know, when you're organizing. I do have to say, though, I was a very... busy child. I had a lot of energy and I would look for things to do, and organizing became something I loved to do. And I would tell my mom, I would say, I don't want you to come in my room for the next 5 hours. And it literally was, it was a whole day.
Yeah.
And my room was immaculate. And I did this, I mean, twice a year, like it was crazy. But
Yeah,
I enjoy organizing. I feel like Billy and I did a studio tour video on YouTube, but I have some things I'm doing in the new year to reorganize. We probably should do an updated video and go more into depth on it. But
sounds good.
And then as far as like learning style, and it was a designing style.
Yes. Yeah. Your learning or designing style.
Yeah, the same. I feel like we do things differently. But there's just so many things we do. Like I was telling her the other day, Mom and I are both list people. We're always writing notes, making lists. There's a lot of things that we're the
and
same.
I don't know if the question is referring to like the learning as like learning different techniques, quilting, or like if you've through classes or videos or instruction. I don't know if that's necessarily what it is.
Yeah, but I'd say we're different on that. Mom is a very confident learner, I would say. I'm a little bit more hesitant to try things out when learning new things. I admire that about her. She's ready to take on a challenge.
I don't know.
And I'm still like, hey, it's November and I'm still scared of curved piecing. But no, I mean, yeah, we have a lot of similarities and also differences. So
I'm just going to throw this out there. Billy, you can cut this if it's too embarrassing.
Okay.
But we did.
We don't need to cut.
We did get on the topic of organizing and cleaning. And, you know, when Billy was younger, he enlisted his siblings to be part of his cleaning club.
Oh, no, I'm not cutting this. I'm proud of this.
Okay,
we're not cutting this because I was there, guys.
Okay, guys. So let me tell you what Billy did to his younger siblings. He made it sound...
I can't believe you're sharing this.
I can't either.
Well, this actually ties in, too, to another question. Oh, so good. Go ahead. Yeah.
It's the holidays. It's time to share embarrassing things, right? Anyway, so Billy had this great idea to have a cleaning club, and he really hyped it up and made his younger siblings
excited
to join. They each had to pay him money. I think it was just like $1.
It was only $1. I remember the contract.
And then there was a contract. And
he wrote it out.
Yes. I still have it somewhere.
No.
Yes, I do. But anyway, then after they paid him $1 to be a part of the cleaning club, then they would then clean his room. And nobody else's room got cleaned. So there you go.
Yeah. So let me speak to this. Hold on, Chelsea. I know you probably have something to say, but like, yeah, it was part of the chores. I didn't like cleaning. I'll be honest. I still don't. And my apartment stayed clean because, well, I that is embarrassing. I won't say anything. I kept my apartment clean, but sometimes I needed help. Anyway, no, I think that was just a pretty good tactic. I was being a little manipulating to my younger siblings, but you know, we've all heard the Tom Sawyer story with washing painting the fence. I sort of pulled that tactic out and still works for kids and
to a T.
And I do remember writing out a contract and like holding
it
to him.
Yeah.
And my other sister, Candace, she was the first one to sort of, I think, be like suspicious about this. Like, wait, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And you're just bossing us around, telling us what to do. I think she was the first one to leave. And I threatened her with the contract.
Yeah.
Chelsea and Sean were more on board.
Oh, we were the whole time. Yeah. That's all I want to say.
Candace figured it out.
Oh, yeah. She knew it was a bad deal. But I feel like Sean and I weren't going to waver. We were in total support of this and just thought he was, I have to tell people though, he was a great older brother. And so Sean and I think we just felt so cool being a part of the cleaning club and we wanted to do it. And it was funny. And I could hear Candace in the other room. You guys don't even realize what you're doing. Like, but no, yeah. Great story.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Okay. That worked perfect because a couple of the fun ones I saved for the end.
Ooh, yay.
The funnest stories about each other. And we will say we grabbed a couple of these from leftover from the Fat Quarter live stream that you guys did. Was it in October?
Yeah, they had asked us this question. Yeah, in October.
They didn't have time to ask us this question. Or was it the end of September?
I can't remember now.
I think it was October. But.
Okay. Yeah, they had a list of questions, but they weren't able to get to this one. And I was kind of sad because I was excited about it.
We were prepared.
So we're like, we'll save those for the podcast. So I don't know who wants to go first because I know you both had something prepared.
Oh my
about
goodness.
The funniest story about one another.
I have a couple. There was one, and I think I've shared this story before, but I was never into quilting and I was almost kind of annoyed by my mom's quilting. It was a big deal to her, right? And I was always like, my mom quilts, blah, blah, blah. And she would always get on me about staying up too late and or like being on my phone or whatever. And she was up super, super late. And I was like, what is she doing? And I would hear the thrum of the sewing machine going. I mean, guys, it was past midnight. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And her sewing room was right across from my bedroom. So it was keeping me up. And I'm like, this woman who has gotten on me about going to sleep on time, she comes bursting into my room. And I'm like, here she is again, trying to catch me to see if I'm on my phone or staying awake doing homework. And she's like, you're not going to believe this bag I made. She's like, it's new. I made it. The zipper's on it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I said, Mom, I am terrified. I'm going to wake up one day and the whole house is going to be stitched together. Like, I just can't. But no, that's something that I always tell people and just one of my favorite memories of Mom. Oh, so, thanks. I mean, there's a lot of other funny stories. I was a very rambunctious child, so probably they're hardest to raise. But that's a story I like with Mom.
I think that's what Mom's story is going to tell people, that you were the hardest to raise. Because I know what she's going to share.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, because we talked about this.
I was sticking to quilting stories. Come on, guys.
Well, this one is the one your dad told me to tell, so because it involves him, I guess. So,
Bill.
Yeah. So when Chelsea was in high school, she had a big truck that she drove. And my husband loved that truck, actually. And so occasionally he would drive it too. And one time he was out. I can't remember, you know, why he was out. Maybe just going out to the range or something. Or just, you know, taking it out in the desert. And this other truck kind of pulled up next to him. And
oh, no. I know what story you're going to tell.
Kind of like looking
and like taunting him
kind of. Yeah. And so then he rolled the window down and the guy was like, oh, you're not Chelsea, you know? And
it was like, a boy in high school.
It was a teenager.
Yeah.
And so he said, no, I'm her dad. And the kid says, man, that truck, I've seen it on completely in the air, all four tires off the ground. And so
he's like, that is a cool truck.
Yeah.
He's like, I just want to say that's a cool truck. And I, you know, he was amazed at what he had seen.
Oh, yes. Because it's a one ton truck.
Yes. And so dad,
flying through the air.
Yes. And so dad came home and said, hey, Chelsea, tell me about this truck flying through the air. So that's my funny story about Chelsea.
I remember exactly who this kid was too. I was kind of a crazy child.
And here where we live, we should say to make sure, yes, that was not smart. And I did plenty of bad driving out here as well. But wherever Chelsea did this was out, like, desert.
In the middle of nowhere.
Way in the middle of nowhere.
Off-road.
Yeah.
Desert.
Still not smart, please. However you did that, Chelsea.
I hope I don't get too many reprimanding comments.
Yeah, but yeah, she was not on a public road, for sure.
Yes.
I like how we're like, hey, guys. No, I remember that. But I will say this for the people who are like, Chelsea, that wasn't very smart. I was reprimanded. The dad found out later the front axle on this truck was literally about to fall off, which was very dangerous. So because I had taken it over a few jumps that people had told me and shown me where they were and that they were really cool, I had learned that that was a grave mistake that not only cost my parents some money, but it was not very smart. So, and dad did love that truck. So, wow.
Yeah, but I wonder how many people will watch this and can be pretty shocked that as a high school girl, you were jumping one-ton pickup trucks in the desert.
I'm not like that anymore. Yeah.
She's a very cautious, good driver.
Yeah. Much more cautious now that I have children.
Yes.
Yeah, but oh gosh.
Okay.
All right, so last one, another fun one, then I'll share a couple of reviews, is the famous people. So Fat Quarter Shop was going to ask you about that.
Yes.
They didn't get to it. So.
I'm so excited about this question.
Yeah.
All right. So mom goes first.
Mom goes
first. Who's the most famous person that you've met?
Okay. I'm going to do three really quick though.
Yeah. I have a few too. Okay.
Okay. So first of all, I went to middle school and high school with Greg Maddux, who Cy Young award winning baseball player.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
World Series champion.
World Series champion.
In the 90s.
Ate
lunch with him all the time. Had lots of, you know, we weren't like close, but we had lots of mutual friends. So yeah, there's that. And then number two is Wayne Newton. My dad knew him on a first name basis. And we went to a picnic at his ranch. And so met him on numerous occasions. Funny story, my husband's family also good friends with Wayne Newton. My husband's grandmother actually sold him the property where he has had his Casa de Shenandoah home. So it was part of her property. And when she moved, so that's number
and
two.
Dad delivered furniture there.
He delivered
correct?
Furniture to Wayne.
He's very nice to him.
Yeah. So, and then just finally, Las Vegas strip magician Chris Angel opened up a restaurant in our town.
In our town called Kablip.
And which stands for
Chris Angel's breakfast, lunch, and pizza.
Yeah.
And he's all about this town now. He's like in the restaurant. It's funny.
Yeah. And so anyway, my husband and I were eating there one day and Chris came in and sat down and we had a great conversation with him. And that's my three famous people.
Yeah. Mom kind of has more up close personal. I just have three very profound experiences with famous people that they obviously don't think are profound.
Okay.
So I knew my mom loved watching Jay Leno. I had seen her watch the Jay Leno, the Tonight Show a lot. And I was at Universal Studios for a clogging competition. Guys, I was a clogger. And I see Jay Leno.
I remember
this. I immediately start charging Jay Leno as like a 13-year-old girl. And immediately out of nowhere, these guys are so good. Security, two men, I run straight into them and they said, you've got to get in line. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And he was there signing autographs. And so I was literally, I mean, from me to, I don't know, 20 feet away from Jay Leno. So there's that experience. It was just cool to see him in person.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about the bodyguards.
Yeah, they did stop me. I probably looked a little erratic.
Okay, so that one wasn't really a conversation meet.
You were in his area. None of these are. Mine are all.
Chelsea.
Mine are all. I've never had the experiences mom has had.
Oh.
But, this is close enough for me, Billy. This is close enough.
Okay, fair enough. Yep.
Okay. So my next one, I'm at the McCarran Airport. We were picking up my husband's brother from his mission and literally walking right. I mean, he brushed shoulders with me. Ricky Fowler is a golfer and he had his headphones in, and my husband is, he didn't know what to do. And he was like, Ricky, he just like yelled his name right in his face. Like,
Mason did?
Yes. Wow. He couldn't contain it. And I'm like, he has his headphones in. Everyone knows that means do not talk to them. Do not bother them. So there was that.
Awesome. Well, I'll do just because it's been so long, I'll do a couple reviews. I saw the one here on with the questions. Maybe I'll read that and then one off the podcast player. But I thought this one was good. It says, I got on here to post about the podcast, but my sincerely yours fat quarter box, I'm guessing, arrived this afternoon. Is mm-hmm. that what that be? Mm-hmm. It's just FQB, that's why.
Yeah. Fat quarter bundle.
Fat quarter bundle. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Still a rookie, everyone. and now I'm posting this on everything. I'm blown away now that I'm seeing this collection in person. I literally buy every collection that you all make, but I feel like this is just so outside your normal box and shows how fashion forward, adaptable, and flexible while staying timeless that you two ladies are as designers. This collection shows so much growth in your line. And then she said, I listen and re-listen to your podcasts, YouTube episodes, because I truly enjoy the content and the listening experience. Billy's contributions have been such a great addition to the show, and I get so excited when a new episode pops up in the queue. Mm-hmm. Your stories are great, the tips are fantastic, and overall, your show is really filling a niche that I didn't know was missing. Keep up the excellent work, you guys. Much love from West Virginia, Ashley.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, and she actually
that's so sweet.
Reached out to me by email and also on my Instagram to give that lovely comment. So we really appreciated it.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
just a couple from Apple Podcast. The Apple Podcast app. If you want to leave a review there, that is much appreciated. So this one says the best quilting podcast. Sherry and Chelsea are truly relatable and knowledgeable, so fun to listen to. They have helped me improve my quilting skills and increase my knowledge in the quilting world. When one podcast is done, I can't wait for the next.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again. Thank you.
And then this last one here, you guys are wonderful, says Lindy, Oklahoma. So I love the quilting podcast, and right now I'm not really sewing much, so it's always good to listen to a podcast when I'm cleaning the house or driving in the car. Thank you so much for your podcast, and I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
Aw.
Yeah.
We love hearing those.
Yeah, thank you. This has been so much fun. We haven't done one of these
in just a long
conversation
time.
With each other episodes for a while, so... Yeah, thanks to everyone for your input and your feedback. And next episode will be on Monday, December 13th.
Mm-hmm. We have a special guest.
From Moda. We'll say that.
Yeah.
From Moda. And another designer.
Mm-hmm. So you're giving a lot of hints, Mom.
I'm giving some hints.
Yeah. I can sort of also give a teaser that my mom and sister were very happy to talk to her because after the interview, they stayed on the phone for quite a while. And I had to leave the room. I had nothing to do.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It was kind of like, oh, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It was a good little reunion.
Yep. So that'll be next time.
All right. Thanks so much for stopping by.